And this time, we are on this line in the evening. Let's read that banner together, huh? Declare this banner together. The humanity of Jesus. Again.
The humanity of Jesus.
Amen. In the first three nights, Brother Marty, Brother Bill shared a wonderful word to us about what the meal offering is and how that typify the humanity of Jesus. And then last night, as Brother Dennis told us, that we are making the turn now after seeing what the humanity of Jesus is. We are coming to the application of the humanity of Jesus. Last night was about Christian life and the church life. And today is about our service and our spiritual warfare. And later, I will talk a little bit to prepare you so you young people won't be afraid of spiritual warfare. Nothing to fear, okay? But today we want to talk about, as priests, as a regenerated priest, as a serving one of the Lord, to build up a spiritual house, we are the holy priesthood and we are the royal priesthood. We're here to serve God. And we want to talk about how do we serve to build up the church. And then after that, we will talk about that all of us who have been constituted with the humanity of Jesus, we have a job to do. And our job is to subdue God's enemy. Brothers and sisters, we have a glorious commission from God. We are on this earth to express Him and to subdue His enemy. So for that purpose, I'd like to start in this way. May we all turn to a verse that we are all very familiar with, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Right? Okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Open your Bible. I know you all know this verse. But I want to take you through this verse. Let's have the brothers read it first, and then the sisters. Okay, the brothers. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, start.
And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.
This was at the beginning, when God was about to create man. The three of the Trinity held a council, a conference together. In this conference, they decided that they would make man in a special way, with a special intention. So he said, God said, what? Let us make what?
Man.
Let us make what?
Man.
Let us make what?
Man.
Oh, I'm a man.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I want you to be impressed. It's not a small thing that you are a man. Are you a man, Brother Matthew?
Amen.
You are a man.
Amen.
I'm a man. And all the sisters, I want you to know, you are also a man.
Amen.
Let us make man. Not angels. Angels are much more powerful. But that's not what God's heart is. God's heart is a man. Right? The psalmist says, what is man that you are mindful of him? God is mindful of you, a man. Man is so important. What was God's initial intention for man to do? Max, you know. To what? Two things.
Take him as life,
right? That's the process. But what's his original intention?
Well, to have a counterpart.
To have a counterpart. That's also correct. Okay. That's a process. That's wonderful. Okay, let me ask the sisters. Sisters, what? I don't know your name, but could you tell me what was God's initial intention for man? Have his dominion, but what goes before that? To express him. Okay, praise the Lord. And you're right, that's the process. Okay. Two things, image and dominion. God's intention for man was that man would express him and man will represent him. And you ask me, why does God want to do that? I would say, brothers, I don't know. But I just praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is God's original intention. You know, I've been under Brother Lee's speaking since 1968. That's a long time ago, isn't it? Right. And I don't know how many times he talked about image and dominion, right, Brother Dennis? All the time, image and dominion.
Right.
I said, yeah. Okay. Until one day, I don't know why, the Lord's mercy, he just showed me, opened my eyes to see your purpose in life. It's just one thing, to express God and to represent God. Max, that's more than glorious, to express God and to represent God. Last night, Brother Dennis talked about suicide. If you see that your purpose in life is so important, is to express God and to represent God, you will not so easily terminate your life. Your life is so precious. You are a man.
Amen.
You are a man to express God and to represent Him. Okay? So this is related to our message this morning. To express him is that we will be priests serving him. To represent him, that we would fight his enemy involved in the spiritual warfare. That's our job. But after all these four messages, wonderful messages in the last four nights, I want to tell you, when God expressed his intention to make man in such a way, that was just the beginning. He needs to go through a process. He needs to go through a process. Our trying God has to go through a process. So that his initial intention can be fully accomplished. He has to become a man, right? And he has to pick up a wonderful things called the humanity of Jesus. And this humanity of Jesus is our meal offering today.
Amen.
If we are priests, we get to eat the meal offering. Oh, I love the term last night Brother Dennis used. Meal offering church life. I will call this morning meal offering college training. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? We need to take this process and consummate a triune God into us so we can be constituted, we can be filled with Him, and we can be just Him. Not just like Him, but just Him. What did Paul say in Colossians, or in Philippians? For to me, to live
is Christ.
Is like Christ? For to me, to live is Christ. This is tremendous, isn't it? God's intention, God's purpose is more than wonderful. What He wants to do is He wants to fill us with Himself. And He had to go through process. And He today, initially I did not like the term, because when Burley talked about process, consummated, triune God, I said, no, Burley, what are you talking about? There's no such words in the Bible. But now I love it.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Because our triune God went through a process. And He's consummated for what purpose? To accomplish His initial intention. To be filled in us, to be constituted in us, to be working to us, that we may express Him, represent Him. That's on His part. Now, how about on our part? Do we have to go through a process? Max told us, huh? We have to go through a process. Of course, in this process, it's a little bit unfair that God already had chosen us. Right?
Yeah.
Matt Payne? God already had chosen us. So a little bit unfair, right? Okay. But nevertheless, we take it. And then He predestinated us, He marked us out, and He called us, and He justified us, and He regenerated us. And now we are going through another process, lifelong process of transformation, of getting Him, His element, constituted into us. Then eventually, our whole being, from our spirit to our soul to our body, will be fully just God. Then the result is there's no other way. We will express Him. We will represent Him. Right? Max, right?
Yes.
You will be, I'm sorry to use this word, if that offends you, I'm sorry, you will be God.
Hallelujah.
In life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. No, we are not God to be worshipped, but we will have God in life and nature. We will express God, we will represent God. That's God's purpose. Okay. Let's talk about priestly service. Okay. In the Old Testament, there are two kinds of service. One is priestly service. What's the other kind of service? Huh? The other kind of service is Levitical service. Who moved the tabernacle, who slayed the animals, who did all those physical things, physical service. Those were needed. But only one family, that's Aaron's family, the priest, handles the offerings. It's the priest who take the meal offering and burn it on the altar. And the remainder will be for his food, for his supply. And that supply is only to the priests. Then, when we come to the New Testament, The New Testament says, some of you are priests, but most of you are Levites. No. All of you, all of us, are priests. We are the holy priesthood, and we are the royal priesthood. We are all priests. We have the right to serve God, to handle the meal offering, burn it on the altar, and also take the meal offering as our food, our full supply. Right? Okay, so what does that mean we have to do as a priest to serve God? In my early church life, I used to hear a brother says, oh, I'm good at, doing all these physical things. I'm good at arranging chairs, cleaning up hall, maintain the hall, and take people to the airport, bring them back, and so forth. But it's come to the speaking in the meeting. No. Don't ask me to do that. That's not my portion. Is that right?
No.
Where is it, Drew? Where's Drew Hawthorne? Oh, he disappeared? Oh, he's right there. Good. The other day he asked me, he said, Brother Simon, what do you enjoy the most in this training? I told him, I enjoy the exercise, the functioning, the free, the release functioning of all the young people. I love this because you are fulfilling your priestly service. As I said, 1968, I came to the church life in Los Angeles. I was a country boy in Taiwan. And I had I knew a very little English when I came. Okay. In those days, Brother Lee was there, speak at least 3 times a week. Brother Marty, 3 times a week. Oh, I was. And then the saints were so much in life. Yeah. Functioning, sharing, prophesying. I was so happy. I said, this is heaven on earth. Except one thing. I never opened my mouth. I got an excuse. I don't know English. I don't know what you're talking about. And number two, I'm just shy. How many of you think you're shy? Nobody? Oh, good. At least some of you, like me, are shy. Well, the problem is, Brother Lee won't let us go. After he finishes speaking, he said, now it's your turn to function. And he also spoke to us over and over again. All of you, every one of you can function. Amen. At least you can stand up to say, oh Lord, amen, hallelujah. Amen. Remember that? Yeah. I still wasn't convinced. So Burley assigned two brothers, to help some of us who are timid, who are stubborn, to function. And there's an American brother. He's a steel worker. He's huge, big. You know, in those days, we UCLA students always came late. We were so terrible. We always came late to the meeting, and we always sat in the last row going around. And this brother, his name is John. I don't want to tell you his last name. He will walk around, and he will not pick anyone else. He just picked Simon Yang. He came to my seat. Came behind me, right? Keaton? No. He said, Simon, function. Oh, I'm sorry to expose my weakness, but gradually I began to open my mouth. And you know what? A wonderful discovery I made. That is, when I open my mouth to speak the Word of God, there's a flowing, a river of water of life within me. And right away, I understood fully what the saints were talking about. I saw a river, and I jumped right in, and I'm in the flow. So, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage all of you to recognize this. Number one, that we are all priests. Number two, as a priest, our job is to speak. Later, when Brother Lee was speaking on 1 Corinthians chapter 14 about prophesying, and he explained what the word prophesy means. He said, when the whole church come together, everyone can prophesy. Right? You can all prophesy one by one. And he who prophesies build up the church. And what did he say? What did he explain what prophesy means? He said prophesy doesn't necessarily mean to predict in the New Testament. It means three things, okay? To speak for Christ. To speak for Christ. And to speak for Christ. You push Christ out of your spirit. And number three, you speak Christ into people. Right? You know, yesterday and the day before yesterday, when you went out to preach the gospel, what were you doing? You were fulfilling your priestly function. Speaking Christ into people. You know what? After you speak Christ into people, you speak for Christ, you speak for Christ, you get the enjoyment of the meal offering. Right, Preston? After you function. Brother Lee always say that. The best meeting is the meeting in which you speak. Is that right? Young people, is that right? Because you fulfill, you exercise your priestly function. Okay, I guess we better come to the outline and follow the outline for a while. Let's read the title, The Humanity of Jesus for the Priestly Service and the Spiritual Warfare. Let's read it all together. Okay, two things, huh? This is our function. Last night was our life, our Christian life, our church life. And this morning is our service, our function, right? Priestly service and the spiritual warfare. Now, brothers, read Roman numeral 1, please. He talk about not just God's priest today, but God's actual and practical priest today. That means we are those who are not in retirement. Huh? You know, in the service of the Lord, there's no retirement. Huh? Right? I'm not in retirement. Active and practical. Okay, Sister Re A.
The priest is one who serves and is active in the sense of meeting. To be a priest, he must function in a whole way to enjoy the special diet of the meal offering.
Amen. All right, you are active in a meeting and you must function in a full way. So, young people, I would encourage you, as you go on with the Lord, go on to pursue the Lord, you need to continue to exercise, to function, so that you will function in a full way. I know some people say, well, I'm not those type. You know, if you let me sit in the back row, I'm happy in the church life, right? That's not my portion. I'm not on my portion to speak in a meeting. No, that's not my portion. I'm just, you know, I also run. I'll go with you. But you push and I'll follow you. But is that what God wants us to do? When God created man, he said what? Man in his image to express him. Right? He did not say, oh, you express me in the back row. Huh? And you express me in your retirement. No. Full function. In the full way, function in the full way. Repeat this with me. Function in the full way. Repeat it again.
Function in the full way.
How many of you consecrate? Oh, I'm sorry. How many of you have consecrated yourself to the Lord? You all have, right? Can you all raise your hand, those of you who have consecrated? Can you this morning say, Lord, I consecrate myself to function in the full way? Can we say that? Lord, I consecrate
myself.
Amen. In the full way. That's what God wants. Did I do something wrong?
No.
No? Okay. Keep functioning? Okay. In a full way. And don't be shy. Don't take a back seat to others. As when it comes to service, comes to function. Don't be so modest. Huh? Don't be so humble. God needs your portion to offer up the spiritual sacrifices to build up a spiritual house for his purpose. Okay. This was that A was a sister, right? How about B, brothers? Okay. To be in the presence of God, serving Him, we need that nourishment, an extraordinary diet, that's Christ as the meal offering. So these two things go together. On the one hand, when you function, when you serve the Lord, you get to enjoy the meal offering. Right? On the other hand, when you enjoy the meal offering, you are strengthened, you are nourished to function more. Right? Maybe I could share with you one of my testimony. I was always in the church life. I'm not a bad brother, you know. Always in the church life. Except sometimes high, sometimes low. And I would preach some gospel functions. But until one day, the Lord sent me to a new locality. And the brother that was, that new locality had only a few brothers. And so, they said, oh, you are here, wonderful. That was the time I really consecrated myself to function in a full way. I went to Arizona State University, even though there was nobody there, and I finally found one brother from out of town visiting. I said, you come with me. So we went to the campus, and we parked our car in the parking lot. We began to pray for the huge campus. You know, Arizona ASU is a big campus. We began to pray for the campus. Then eventually, you know, lo and behold, they began to come in. And I remember in those days, in my heart, in my being, at that time I was a manager in IBM, okay? But in my heart, I did not think about IBM. In my heart, there's only one thing. Lord, I want to serve you. Serve you with all my life. The more you eat the meal offering, the more you want to serve him. There was a brother in Minnesota 2 years ago when I came to the college training. I met him the first time, Jay. I said, Jay, what do you do, brother? He said, oh, I'm a full-time serving one. And also, a little footnote, also I work full-time for IBM. I was so impressed. Full-time serving one first. Amen. Then you are a full-time worker for somebody else. Brothers and sisters, this is our job, our profession. Amen. And I notice some of the middle-aged sisters are here. And it's wonderful that you're here serving the Lord. I used to serve in a middle-aged training in Anaheim when I was there. I love those middle-aged saints. They did not give up. They did not say, I'm not young anymore, so forget about it. No, no. I want to serve the Lord. Amen. So I want to be trained. Amen. I gave up my job so I can come to the full-time, to the middle-aged full-time training. I think many of you eventually will all go to FTTA, right? Amen. Right? Amen. Why do you want to go to FTTA? Because you want to serve the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Serve him, what is that? Function in the full way. Okay. Where are we now? Okay. Now, is that sister's turn? One. Sister one, please.
What is lacking today is the proper food for the priest. This food can only come from the humanity of Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. There's no other place, huh? Two, brothers.
The more we enjoy Christ as a meal offering, the more we will be nourished, qualified,
strengthened, supported. Oh boy, how true this is. Amen. And the sisters, three.
We all must learn to feed on Christ as a meal offering, to be presented to God in the sense of meeting. This food will transform us so that we have a priestly life, thus qualifying us to serve God as the priesthood.
Amen. And finally, point C together, C together. Amen. Amen. How do we become priests? What did we just read? What did we just read? How do we become priests? This is my hot button. Brothers and sisters, have you been regenerated?
Amen.
Really?
Amen.
You know, I'll tell you a story. You may not have heard this, you may not. Brother Lee, when he was younger, one day he saw from the Word, from his prayer before the Lord, that God, this triune God, the God of whole universe, is living in him. You know what did he do? You know what he did? He went out to the street. He shouted, Don't touch me. I have the God in me. Brothers and sisters, do you have that kind of realization that you have been regenerated, that God is in you? Many Christians like to sing Christmas carol, right? And I, in a sense, like Christmas carol. Sounds good, right? There's one Christmas carol by Charles Wesley in our hymn number 84. Hark the Herald Angels. You know this, right? Hark the herald, boom, 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 boom. Okay. In one of the stanza at the very end, the last, next to the last stanza, he says, he was born to raise the sons of earth. But the next line says, he was born to give them the second birth. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How many births do you have? Do you think? Just one? Oh, I'm just, you know, what I am. I by my parents. I'm just the way it is. Is that right?
No.
No. We have a second birth.
Amen.
Christ has come into us. The things that hit me wasn't directly about that we have God in me. It was a time, you know, I wasn't so sure that God was in me, but what kind of God is that? The Father? In Christianity, we always pray to the Father. Then you come to the church, you know, pray to the Lord. So what's happening? You know, is the Father or is the Lord? Who is in you? And then I listened to Billy's speaking about the all-inclusive, life-giving, compound, all-inclusive spirit, the spirit of Jesus Christ. What is in you today, brother? It's not just a raw, sorry, that's the word brother used, okay? It's not just a raw God in you. Is the God that has gone through the process. The humanity of Jesus is in you.
Amen.
So when I heard this, oh my goodness, I couldn't hold myself down. Huh? The all-inclusive, life-giving spirit is in my spirit now. I just need to turn to my spirit and all the supply will be there. The humanity of Jesus will be there. So by the way, young people, I want to ask you a question. After listening all these to this wonderful things about the meal offering, the humanity of Jesus, I'm going to ask you, where do you go to get this humanity of Jesus? Isn't it third heaven? Where do you go? Huh? That's why I think it's like yesterday, right? Brother Dennis talked about Romans chapter 8. It's a spirit in our spirit. And one thing we have to, in our being, we have to cooperate with the spirit, mainly is our mind. Our mind need to focus to be set on the Spirit.
Amen.
Who's mingled with God the Spirit, right? And that's where we find the humanity of Jesus. Okay, so maybe this is a good time to review the four elements. Four, is that right? Four. Of the meal offering. What's the first one?
Fine flour.
Second one?
Oil.
Number three?
Frankincense.
Number four?
Salt.
Okay. Also in fine flours, what are the characteristics? There are three in the outline. What's the first one?
Fine.
Okay. The second one?
Balanced.
The third one?
Tender.
When you find yourself not tender, not lowly, meek and lowly, what do? You set your mind on the Spirit. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Spirit. Turn to the all-inclusive, light-giving, compound Spirit. The humanity of Jesus is there. The meek and lowly Jesus is there. Let me give you a testimony. I hope I'm not hiding out time, huh? I need to get to the spiritual warfare. But you cover it. That is, one time, you know, in most number of churches that I've been to, we have this Brothers Coordination Monday night. And I know you have your campus coordination, you have your student coordination, you have all these times together, right? Invariably, somebody is going to rub you on the wrong side. Am I right? Oh, one time I came back, the Monday night driving home, I was fuming about this particular brother. Was I in the humanity of Jesus? No. And the Lord was merciful. You know what happened? The Lord told me, well, since you are so mad about him, can you pray for him? So I began to pray, Lord, I turn to you. I pray for brothers so and so. And I pray, and I pray, and I pray. And there's a love in my being flowing out to the brother. And eventually, at the end, when I move out of the locality to another place, he and I were so, I don't know, can I use the word build up together? I'm going to sit down and break the table. We're so built up together. It's hard to leave, right? Because that wasn't our natural affection. That was, I hope it is, the humanity of Jesus. So turn to the Lord, turn to the Spirit. If simple setting your mind doesn't work, then pray. Call on the Lord. Right. Okay, we have to go on to Roman numeral 2. Can we read Roman numeral 2? Amen. Amen. Okay. I want to save the time, so I don't want to go through the outline. I just want to convey some burden. I want to supplement some of the things Brother Dennis shared last night. But before I do all that, the brothers on the West Coast, help us to help you all never to fear.
Amen.
As the believers in Christ, you do not have to fear the enemy.
Right. Amen.
When you talk about the spiritual warfare, don't be afraid. Okay? And I want to declare to you some of the verses. You just listen. You don't need to open up the Bible. I think you're all familiar with those verses. Number one, Hebrews 2:14. In fact, that's one of your memory verses, right? Since therefore the children, that through death he might destroy him.
Amen.
He might destroy him.
Amen.
Who has the might of death? That is the devil. Who has destroyed the devil? The Lord Jesus has destroyed the devil. When the enemy comes to bother you, hey, you have been destroyed. Get out of here. I mean, seriously. You know, Brother Lee once told us, you know, when enemy bothers you, you say, Satan, come here. Let me read you some verses. And I'm reading these verses to you, okay? Philippians 2, 9, 1. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. That in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
To the glory of God the Father. What is the highest name in the whole universe?
Jesus.
Amen. When you encounter any kind of darkness, any kind of power of darkness, declare the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Acts 2:36, Peter speaking to the Jews. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus whom you crucified. Right? He is both Lord and Christ. Matthew 16. Not only that, not only you are in Christ, you are in Jesus, but also you are in the church.
Right.
Am I right?
Right?
You are also in the church, in the body. Matthew 16. The Lord says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. He says the gates of Hades shall not prevail against the church.
Amen.
Brother, are you in the church?
Amen.
Good. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against the church. I'm not talking about this in theory. I experienced this. I was with Leland and Drew yesterday. Yeah. No, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against the church. Revelation 12:11. Remember this verse. And they overcame him. Well, you can read it together with me. I think most of you know. And they overcame him by the blood of and by the word of their testimony.
And they loved not their soul life even unto death.
The blood and the word about testimony. So, apply the blood. Declare Jesus is Lord. Christ is victor.
Amen.
Satan is a liar.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. There's a recently a brother called me, and then he texted me. He said, Brother Simon, I've been having nightmare every night for over 2 months now. What can I do? And so I called him up and talked to him. I said, you need to learn to apply the blood of Jesus, right? Because they overcame him by the blood. And also declare the name and declare Jesus as Lord. And I also told him that, you know, in the New Testament, when Christ came, he began a time of Jubilee. Right? You all know Jubilee, right? Jubilee is the time of release. You are no longer in bondage. I said, Brother, you are in Jubilee. And so happened, that was in the training. Who was that brother? Says, we are still in the Jubilee. And so I told him that. And a few days ago, he texted me. He said, Brother Simon, no more nightmare.
Amen.
Full of Jubilee.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We are the God man. We're here to deal with God's enemy.
Amen.
We're not here to be defeated by God's enemy.
Right.
Don't be frightened by your opposer.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So are you okay? Don't have nightmare tonight now. Because we talk about the spiritual warfare. Okay. Maybe we should, we can still, well, go on. Maybe I'll just talk about it. I think we don't have time. That is, God's enemy is a creature, right? God is the only one who is the uncreated one. God doesn't want to deal with his creature. Right? So God wanted man to deal with his enemy. So when the Lord Jesus came on this earth, the enemy, the demon, the devil, always tried to nail him as the Son of God. Right? He said, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he says, if you are Son of God, you're hungry, right? If you're a Son of God, you can change all these stones into loaves of bread. Is that right? You know, by the way, Satan is a big liar. He's very subtle. He says everything all sounds reasonable. What did the Lord say? That's one of your memory verse. Matthew 4:4. Let's repeat that one. Hallelujah. He said, man, I'm here as the second man. The first man failed, but I'm here as the second man.
Amen.
Right? Man, I'm here as man to deal with you. Man shall not live on bread alone. Right? Praise the Lord. The Lord set himself up as a man, as a pattern for all of us to be man to deal with his enemy. Okay. Now, what's enemy's strategy? As I told you just now, the enemy is a liar. It's very subtle. It's very cunning. What's enemy's strategy? You think he's dumb? No, he's no dummy. Right? What is his strategy? His strategy is to corrupt your mind. Whether through philosophy, whether through all the other corruptible things, fornications, drugs, all kinds of addictions, to corrupt your mind. Once your mind is corrupted, you are no match for him. When you are hiding, your mind sitting on the spirit, hiding in the spirit, that is a strong hold. Not a strong hold, that's not the right word. That's the the fortress, the hiding place for us to be in our spirit. So we must hide our mind, hide ourselves in our spirit. So the very first thing, I think yesterday when we talked to those two brothers, and one thing is very important to know for you young people. Have you been exposed to any kind of addictions of video games, addictions of painkillers? This is all legitimate. I mean, not video game, no. But painkillers, it's very dangerous. When you're addicted to it, are you addicted to pornography? Are you addicted to the chemical drugs? Are you addicted to all these different kind of thoughts and philosophies? Brothers and sisters, if you are, the best thing is to call on the Lord and step right out of the addiction.
Amen.
Not only there's a power in the blood, but there's power in the life of Jesus to release us, to set us free out of those addictions. You know, the addiction starts out a little bit. And once you get in, you get deeper and deeper and deeper. Eventually, you just want to end your life. Right? Now, I think that's probably enough to supplement what Brother Dennis shared last night. Avoid addiction. When you sense something, addiction, in your being, step out of it. Step out of it. Call on the Lord. Go seek help from the brothers. And if serious, you might also have to seek help from professionals. But you must get out of it. Then I want to say a word. You know, Brother Dennis last night talked about how many suicides there are today, right? All over. Young people. One very glaring one and make a lot of press is a pastor of a mega church, his son committed suicide. Listen to this, huh? You know what he said? He told his father, "Dad, heaven is a wonderful place, right? If I die, I go to heaven, right?" Of course, his father cannot say no. Huh? In Christianity, you cannot say no. And he said, he continued, he said, "The world is such a miserable place for me. So, I want to go to heaven. Now." He killed himself. What's the problem here? Of course, the problem, there was underlying problem that he's got some mental health problem. And that needs to be dealt with by the professional. But there's a problem among many people has a wrong impression. Well, what are you doing here? Christ died for you. So what are you doing here? Heaven is a wonderful place. Why don't we just go there now? In fact, when I was first got saved in Christianity, I also preached the gospel in Christianity, and I got some friends to receive the Lord. So one of them told me, "Simon, heaven is a wonderful place, isn't it?" I said, "Yes." "And we are saved." I said, "Yes." "So, what do I need to do something?" A little bit up. Yeah, okay. So he said, "So why are we still on this earth?" How do you answer that question, brothers and sisters? Build up the church. That's good. That's very good. In those days, I don't have that kind of knowledge. You know what I said? Oh my goodness. I said, "Well, because there's still so many people not saved. So, you know, God, keep us here to preach the gospel to them." But I did not know that God has a purpose for me. Right? Early on, didn't I just say, God created man to express him and to represent him. And the ultimate consummation of that is the New Jerusalem. So our existence on this earth, listen to this, our existence on this earth, your existence on this earth, is very vital to God's fulfillment of his eternal purpose. To commit suicide, to cut your life short, is a big insult to God. Don't think you can just go to heaven and enjoy heaven now. No. God's purpose, He wants us to build up the church, like the sister said. Right? And eventually to consummate a new Jerusalem. So today, we must live a life of expressing Him, of representing Him. This is our purpose. Our purpose in life. So, suicide. I want you young people to know, suicide is a great insult to God. Don't think, oh yeah, he just, you know, he suffered, he said it's miserable, so commit suicide to go to heaven, I guess that's okay. It's not okay. You got it? Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Oh Lord, maybe we go down to the last point, D. Okay, together, huh?
For the church
to fight the spiritual warfare, we all need a proper humanity.
But He is such a person in us.
And His humanity is the proper humanity for spiritual warfare.
Amen. Okay. I think I'm done. Can we read a focus together?
Huh? We're feeding on Christ as a meal offering. We are nourished, qualified, strengthened, supported, and transformed to serve God as a priesthood.
Actually, I have a little dessert for you. Huh? You know, Apostle Paul. I love Apostle Paul. Do you all love Apostle Paul, right? Surely, he is a priest, function in a full way to serve his God, right?
Amen.
How did he serve God? Because Apostle Paul is a great man. Is a wonderful man? No. He take in the humanity of Jesus. I want to quote you just a few verses and give you a little window of what kind of man Apostle Paul was. In 2 Corinthians 10:11, so I beseech you in the gentleness and what? And meekness of Christ. Not my gentleness, not my meekness, but gentleness and meekness of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 11:3, simplicity and purity, and also in verse 8 or 9, the truthfulness of Christ in me. Paul was exercising and taking in the meal offering to such an extent, the truthfulness of Christ is in him. Right? And in many places, I speak the truth in Christ. I lie not, right? The truthfulness of Christ is in him. And there's a verse in Philippians 1:8. He told the Philippians, he said, God is my witness. God is my witness. How I long after you all, not in my natural affection, but in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, as we go on in the church life, in the Christian lives, in the meal offering church life, we want to assimilate, accumulate the humanity of Jesus into our being. So we will be constituted with Him. Eventually, we can say like Paul, I long after you all. I long after new ones. Not because I'm zealous, no. But because the inward parts of Christ Jesus is in me. Are you with me?
Amen.
Huh? That is the humanity of Jesus, the meal offering, get work into us. That we can express Him, we can represent Him, we can accomplish His purpose. I'm 5 minutes, 10 minutes early. You want to? Yeah.
Okay, let's pray 2x2.